How do you do, everyone? It's another OneLiner.com podcast. I, as always, am Craig Eastman, and with me, as always, are Scott Morris.
Big up yourself.
And the powerful Drew Tavendale.
Greetings.
Not getting into the spirit of things.
No. Trust me, he's more powerful than he sounds. We've got a mixed bag tonight. We've got a wee bit to catch up on. So without further ado, let's ride this mofo out. Scott Pilgrim versus the world, then. Scott Pilgrim is a 20-something slacker with a band and a high schooler girlfriend called Knives Chow. When he falls for an enigmatic new girl in town called Ramona Flowers, he initially struggles to split with Knives, but soon finds he has bigger problems in the shape of Ramona's seven evil exes, whom he must defeat in order to be with his dream woman. Based, as is de rigueur, on a graphic novel of the same name, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World comes to us courtesy of Hot Fuzz director Edgar Wright, and all eyes are on whether the man, also responsible for Shaun of the Dead, can do the numbers with his first big American studio film. Scott, sink or swim?
Well, in terms of numbers, I think the jury's already in and it sank. But regardless of what the numbers say, I really like Scott Pilgrim. It's got a tremendous visual style, which is essentially the whole point of the film. It's definitely style over substance in a great many respects. Found it dryly amusing throughout, and if you're going to start picking flaws, I mean, this is Michael Cera doing the Michael Cera thing yet again. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to say I'm really sick of it, like all the cool kids are saying, but I still find him to be really quite funny. And between this and Youth and Revolt, it's probably two of the funniest films of the year. So, you know, take that as it may be. Given that the whole film is sort of just steeped in this sort of video game ethos, and it's a very specific brand of video game to the extent that the target audience for the film seems to be people that played on Spectrums and Commodore 64s and Nintendos between about 28 and 33 years old at this point. And if you're outside of very, very specific demographic, you're not going to get anything out of this film. I liked it an awful lot because I happen to be squarely within that demographic and it kind of plays directly to my strengths, but it's a strange thing to aim a film at. And
it's either brave or incredibly stupid.
You get the impression this film was almost like set up to, if not fail, it was set up to only find an audience on DVD or something. It's certainly far too narrow.
It's very niche.
To have a kind of mainstream success, and for the amount of money that's been pumped into it, it's a strange situation. But regardless of that, all I can say is that I found it quite enjoyable. I really like Michael Cera. I like pretty much all the rest of the performances in it. It's dryly amusing all the way throughout. I thought there's some good lines and some really great gags. There's some very nice visual styling, which it's over the top, but then again, that's the point of it, is to be over the top. I've seen some pretty odd reviews of this claiming that the film and all the events in it are happening inside Scott Pilgrim's head, which is really, really strange. I don't know how people got that idea. I think people have been watching Inception a little bit too much.
Yeah.
It's like anything out of the ordinary that happens in a film, there must also be real at the same time, as though like all the song and dance routines in musicals are happening purely inside the actors' heads or something rather than actually happening. It's just an alternative world. I don't know why people can't understand that. It's bizarre.
Yes, it's a comic book.
It turns out this is a film. Who'd have thought it? It doesn't actually have to be a documentary.
It's strange they wouldn't say the same thing about, for instance, Spider-Man, though, would they? Like, he's got all these magical powers, but it's happening inside his head.
Yes. No, see, what's happening is, first of all, it happens inside the head of the director. Then he goes and makes a film about it. Drew, was it worth a watch?
I'll tell you when I've seen it.
Oh, have you not seen it?
No.
Boo. Well, I, for one, have seen Scott Pilgrim, and I suppose I largely share your view, Scott, but I do have one or two reservations about it. By about the third Evil X battle, I was kind of getting a bit bored. I was more interested in hanging out with the characters who were all fantastically rounded, considering the sort of small amount of screen time that some of them have. And actually, I thought these crazy lasers in your face boss battles were a tad distracting. Like I say, by about the third or the fourth one in, I was sitting there counting, thinking, oh my god, I've got another four of these to go, and that's not a good sign. Having said that, like I say, the rest of the film is absolutely fantastic. I don't think you have to be a sort of a hardcore video fan necessarily to enjoy it, because there's enough sort of quirky, I don't know what you want to call it, I'm trying to think of a word for it and I can't, there's enough sort of quirky humour in there to make it worth your while watching anyway. It's probably whether or not you're tending towards epileptic, which should be the deciding factor in whether or not you could sit down and enjoy this film. So, yeah, it was pretty good. I'd probably watch it again. but I don't know if I'm going to sort of rush out and buy it or anything like that. I'll probably wait for it to come out and pop up in the box before I watch it again. It's pretty good. And, well, yeah, Beck does all the music for Scott Pilgrim's band, apparently, so that's another good reason to watch it, but I don't know. And it's got, and I spotted the Fairy Fountain music from the Zelda games in there as well.
Yeah,
so actually, come to think of it, yeah, you should go and see it.
Yeah, so that's why I think that people outside of a very certain gaming demographic won't understand it. Even people that are new to video games won't understand it, because it's all basically Nintendo stuff, give or take a few bits and bobs here and there. And it's the whole film's steeped in it, and I don't know if anyone that's not au fait with that kind of thing is going to really understand what's going on and why people are turning into coins when they get beaten up and things like that.
I've read a few reviews as well where people say, oh, Chris Evans almost steals the show. And I actually thought he was probably the most disappointing of the Evil X encounters. I was really looking forward to it, and I thought actually it was pretty lame. But maybe that's just me.
Certainly doesn't steal the show. I mean, if anyone I thought was going to steal the show, it might be, what's his chops, Kieran Culkin?
Comes very close.
Yeah,
who's Scott's gay roommate.
Works very well, I think.
Indeed. Yeah, worth checking out, but I was mildly disappointed, but it's certainly a brave attempt at doing something new. I'm amazed that he found the funding for it, to be honest with you, because it's just the sort of thing that you think, my God, there are so many other films that are probably much more bankable than this that wouldn't get thrown half the money at them.
Yeah.
How he convinced them to raise the money for it, I don't know, but there you go. And yeah, it's probably going to be one of these ones that sort of 10 years down the line, it's become a sort of cult classic, so maybe it's going to Shawshank it and make its money back on DVD sales, or Blu-ray, or Space Laser, Matrix format, whatever. whatever we'll be dealing with 10 years from now.
Yeah, when you can buy it in pill form.
Yeah, exactly. Just have it piped directly into your brain. On to Cyrus, then. It's been 7 years since the breakup of his marriage, but John, played by John C. Reilly, still hasn't found new romance. When, against his better judgment, he attends a party being held by his ex-wife and a new fiancé, John is pleasantly surprised to meet Molly, a spirited single mother with whom he immediately clicks. Unfortunately, Molly, played by Marissa Tomei, is not your average single mother, in that her son is a 21-year-old new-age musician with whom she shares an unusual relationship and who has no intentions of allowing a new man into his mother's life anytime soon. Jonah Hill is on duty as the titular enfant terrible, and with such a strong cast, Cyrus must surely be worth a punt, Scott.
You would think that. It does have a lot going for it, especially on paper. I mean, the cast is spotless, but reality does not, on occasion, match up with what was promised. The problem with Cyrus is that it seems to think it's a comedy. It's set up as though it's a comedy, and everything about it is, from the dialogue to the situations the characters find themselves in. The problem is that it's really not funny. I think it's trying to be funny, and it starts off more or less being so when it's just John C. Reilly being a pathetic loser. But as soon as this massively and distractingly creepy relationship between Molly and Cyrus sort of gets involved, everything else just becomes overshadowed. It keeps feeling like it's about a second away from going somewhere completely inappropriate, and it doesn't, but it's kept on such a razor's edge of weird and ick that it seems like it ought to be more of a character piece than a comedy, and it winds up just sort of failing at both. It's all, there's nothing too much there that I can point at and say it was dreadful. It's well acted. There's very good performances on round, and it's pretty well directed, and it's very well built. It's well enough put together. It's just an idea that should not have been put together. It's sort of fundamentally flawed from the outset. I just don't see that there's anyone in here that I can actually like. It seems as though the relationship between John C. Reilly's character, John, and Jonah Hill is trying to become adversarial to the point of comedy, but it really isn't. It just gets strange, and everything about it is just weird and kind of borderline wrong, and it's like it's trying very hard to be funny, but it's just too dark to actually be properly blackly humorous, and it's dark enough just to not be funny.
Drew, Scott seems to be suggesting that we don't do weird and strange here at the one-liner.
We are weird and strange here at the one-liner, but I'm not sure it necessarily makes for a particularly compelling viewing, particularly given that it does seem to have been pitched as a comedy, and curiously, a number of reviews I've read seem to have found it funny, and I assume they watched this some different cut than I did, or perhaps had been starved of anything funny to watch for the last 10 years. It starts off, I mean, reasonably promisingly funny. There are a few good laughs earlier on, but then, as Scott said, it just gets odd, weird, kind of uncomfortable, and the bizarre relationship between Marissa Tomei and Jonah Hill, you can imagine it has some potential for being, well, still creepy, funny, but it's altogether far too earnest, the relationship. It's like, so you just feel deeply uncomfortable watching it, and it does get quite close to the bone sometimes.
Literally as well as metaphorically.
The other problem I have with the two is that it's an improvised film, and it shows. It just feels a bit too raw. He's a bit more polished on it, I think. That it does feel, rather than like they've improvised and thought, right, these are the best takes, or we'll do that now, we know what we're going to say. It's kind of like they've just filmed improvisation and said, oh, that's good enough, we'll just leave it in there then. And it doesn't feel complete. It's not funny enough. I think Scott, I've no complaints with the performances, but you can't recommend it, unfortunately. It's just not very enjoyable.
Is the problem possibly that it's been mismarketed then? Because you guys seem to have gone and expected it to be a comedy, and I mean, I haven't seen the film, but certainly from the trailers, that's the impression I get.
Well, that's the impression I got, but as I said, I mean, some other people seem to have, or claim to have found it very funny, so yeah, it wasn't mismarketed, it's maybe just I'm not the person it was marketed to, I don't know.
Or as quite often is the case, most other people are wrong.
Well, yes. That's the general conclusion you can come
exactly.
to.
Exactly, that's usually what we find out.
For instance, Empire, who described it as one of the best indie comedies in years. Quite sure I could probably think of about 10 better in the last 6 months.
I'm quite disappointed because I quite fancied catching up with Cyrus, actually, but I shall definitely stick it on the back burner. I'll be certainly curious still to watch it to see if I agree with you guys, but your judgment is usually enough to decide my order of viewing priority and catch-ups, so I shall stick it on the back burner. Ben Affleck seems just as happy behind the camera as he is in front of it these days, if not more so. For latest directorial effort, The Town, he chooses both, playing Boston bank robber Doug McRae, who finds himself in trouble with his crew after falling for the unwitting manager of a bank upon which they've just pulled a number. It's not the deepest of plots, but The Town reviewed largely favourably stateside, and Drew is going to tell us all about it.
There's not a great deal more to the plot than what you mentioned, but just a group of people from a neighbourhood of Boston called Charlestown, which is the titular town, and they're this group who pull off bank jobs, and it's perhaps not surprising to learn that one of them, in this case it's Ben Affleck's Doug McRae, wants to get out and go straight and do one final job. Actually, it's not the most original story, and we've all seen before several times, I'd imagine, a tale of a gang of thieves and one of whom wants to quit, and then the natural difficulties he faces in doing it. But why does it need to be original so long as it's good? And it's certainly good, which is very pleasing because decent thrillers are something of a rarity nowadays. Mm. Ben Affleck has shown that his directorial debut, rather assured Gone Baby Gone, wasn't a fluke. He does a very good job here and working on a strong, if somewhat cliched script, but again, it doesn't have to be original as long as it's good. Very good performances all round, and most notably Ben Affleck himself and the Hurt Locker's Jeremy Renner. But there's strong support in smaller roles, so the likes of Chris Cooper and Blake Lively. And Pete Postlethwaite, too, as a local kingpin, exudes a real aura of menace, though I am not quite so convinced by his accent.
Ah, to be sure, to be sure.
It is a bit Lucky Charms, isn't it? So, added to, you've got these strong performances and some quite believable dialogue between the characters, and certainly a believable dynamic in the relationships, which makes it all quite compelling from the get-go. And you add to that some snappy action set pieces, and particularly in here, a low-key car chase with not an explosion or not a massive pile-up of police cruisers in sight, which is conducted in confined alleys and side streets, often at a pretty slow speed, that has several levels more tension than the large-scale high-speed chases seen in so many other films. Mm. There's not really a great deal more to say, because the plot is fairly straightforward. It's just that it's well made, it's very well acted, it's enjoyable, and I would highly recommend it. I only have one legitimate gripe, isn't the word, problem perhaps, with the film, but it's by no means unique to this. Indeed, it's a problem that afflicts all films of this type. The main characters of the story are not good people. They're violent criminals, and while it's actually easy to find yourself caring about them and hoping they succeed, it makes you decidedly uncomfortable to do so, particularly if you think about it afterwards. But again, it's not unique amongst films, that being a problem. It's a very interesting, very watchable film, and it still makes you want to look out for Ben Affleck's name under the director credit in the future.
Excellent stuff from the man Affleck, then. Scott?
Much the same conclusions. I've always liked Ben Affleck. I don't know quite why he had to go away for a while. It seems strange that of all the people that took the flack from the whole Bennifer thing, it had to be the one that had any talent.
Yes.
It doesn't seem to have done What's Her Chops any harm. Affleck, who's actually always come across as being incredibly likable in anything he does.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately missed Geely, and I've never, apart from like Daredevil's a bad film, but I wouldn't say he was particularly bad. I've never found Ben Affleck anything other than at least passable in a film, and he's generally very good.
Paycheck was pretty shit.
Point, so I'll grant you that.
Yeah. Although I can't actually remember that clearly, which is probably a blessing.
Yeah, I can't remember much either, but I just remember it was shit.
I'm going to be boring and more or less completely agree with Drew here. It's the same kind of strange morality where the bad guys nominally are more likable than the good guy, who's nominally a madman's John Hamm, who plays an FBI agent trying to catch the guys. But he's so phenomenally unlikable and kind of sleazy that he's the bad guy despite being a good guy, and it's all that kind of strange shades of grey morality, which doesn't quite work so well, I think, here as in some other films. But then again, I was trying to think of what's a better thriller I've seen this year, and the answer is none. There is none better thriller I've seen this year. I've not really seen any kind of small-scale crime drama played better than this, certainly this year, maybe in the last couple of years. There's not been an awful lot of these lately.
Since Narc or something like that.
Yeah, well, just on your point there too, Scott, about thrillers, and I'd said that the rare, decent thrillers are quite rare at the moment. I can't think of that many in the last couple of years. One of the ones that did come to mind was State of Play from last year, which also happened to have Ben Affleck in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something of a trend there. Further proof of Affleck's credentials.
Proof of life.
Yep, so I partly recommend The Town. It's definitely worth a look in. Best crime drama of the past few years.
Yay.
Almost by default, perhaps. But yeah, worth a look.
Let's all go to The Town. And the other guys, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, are mismatched, disgraced New York cops who spend most of their time filling out paperwork for the department's two heroic icons. Can you guess what happens? Can you? Can you? Scott's going to tell you.
Apparently in those three sentences, you've essentially given us the entire plot to the other guys, so I don't know what much else I can say about it. What serves as the plot here, which we'll see the two lead characters, played by Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, go from building permit violations all the way through kidnapping of Steve Coogan, high-stakes fraud, with car chases and gunfire along the way, is a fairly poor linking device. I mean, it's structured in such a way that you can see a kind of progress from, you know, what is probably the day-to-day grind of cop work, which is basically paperwork and office work, all the way up to the kind of absolutely ridiculous diehardian stunts that you see Sam Jackson The Rock doing at the start of the film. And from that aspect, I can see why the plot's structured the way it is, but that plot is basically a pretty tenuous linking device for a series of the usual Will Ferrell, I assume, semi-improvised shtick. It's from the director Adam McKay, who and Will Ferrell have joined up together on umpteen projects going back donkey's years, but I mean, you're thinking of such kind of projects as Anchorman and Talladega Nights, that kind of thing. It's perhaps the least of the works I've seen from this particular combination, I guess, perhaps from the fact that there's a solid argument to say that if you've seen more than about four or five Will Ferrell films, you've probably seen enough of those films to last a lifetime. There's nothing particularly new done in this film, but I still liked it. I still found it quite funny. About a week or so away from actually having seen it, I've forgotten anything particularly distinctive about the film. It's now filed into that same kind of smeared category of Will Ferrell, zany Lark film with about, what, 10 others by this point. I can't really pick out too many details that would make this sort of different from the rest other than having Marky Mark Wahlberg in it. If I was going to sort of say an awful lot more than that, I'd probably start sounding incredibly negative about it. It's not a very necessary film in the grand scheme of things, but at the same time, it's a comedy film that I found quite funny.
So effective, then. That's all you need, right?
Yeah, as I say, that's the only real metric that I've got for judging a comedy film. I watched it and thought it was quite funny. So by that standard, it's certainly more than worthy enough to warrant a place in the world. Is it an absolutely essential watch? No. Or you're hankering for a Will Ferrell fix and you've not seen any number of other his previous films, such as Zoolander or Anchorman or indeed Talladega Nights, some of the other ones mentioned today. There's probably better choices, but if you happen to wander past the cinema and fancy this kind of thing, then there's no reason not to. I enjoyed it well enough.
Enough people seem to have wandered past and fancied it. There wasn't much pre-awareness of it. I think they chucked a few commercials on telly, but it's topped the UK box office, I believe. I'm correct in saying.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but if it does, it deserves it. It's funny. It's a comedy that is funny. So, you know, that's good.
It's a start.
If you want a funny film, you want to see a funny comedy and a funny comedy film, you know, why not?
Drew, but funny comedy?
I'll assume so.
Cool.
I wandered past the cinema to go and see it, and it wasn't on a convenient time, so I went home and happened to watch Talladega Nights instead. So.
I think you pretty much know what to expect if you wander into a cinema for a Will Ferrell film, don't you, really? Especially if Adam McKay's at the helm. You kind of know the humour to expect, so I guess you'll either know you're going to like it beforehand or you won't. I've done no prep work whatsoever for Black Dynamite, so Scott is going to have to explain that to you in its entirety.
Well, thankfully, I've also done no prep work for Black Dynamite, I'm perfectly placed to fill for time for a few minutes while I bring up the plot summary on IMDb. No, but basically, Black Dynamite can be fairly succinctly summed up by the fact that it's a blaxploitation spoof.
Please tell me it's better than Undercover Brother before we start.
Comfortably.
Excellent, comfortably. Excellent.
Now, you've probably not heard of too many people in here, but the titular Black Dynamite is Michael Jai White, who is sort of ringing vague bells in the back of my head. His only real starring role was in Spawn, which is not good, which was not a good thing to be a starring role in. But he's quite effective in this. It is basically blaxploitation. It seems to be very much inspired by the role of your fella from Enter the Dragon. There's an awful lot of kung fu scenes.
Oh, shit, what's his name?
There's a crane dam. I can't remember his name. It's gone out of my head. But
Williams.
It's,
yeah, that's
the
it.
Guy.
Yeah.
Character guy. Yeah.
Basically, it's a revenge drama kind of thing. His Black Dynamite's brother is killed. It turns out that he was actually working for the CIA at the time, going undercover to take down some. He was working for the man. The whole thing is a lot of essentially increasingly tenuous setups from going from a fairly standard revenge fantasy where he's kind of going after gang members, but then there is conspiracies and then there's more conspiracies to the point where it gets incredibly silly by the end of it. But each layer of silliness is handled well enough that it's funny rather than just tenuous. It's pretty well done all the way throughout. There's lots of really good gags in it. There's some very good lines. The presentation of it as this kind of grindhouse-esque 70s of scratch filters and all that kind of things is done substantially better than the actual full-on Tarantino grindhouse things were. Yeah. Certainly anyone that remembers Death Proof's, you know, large sections
just
didn't bother.
Yeah.
it's done a hell of a lot better than that. There's some incredibly funny moments in it. There's nothing new here. There's nothing new about making a blaxploitation spoof, but it does it very, very well. It's commendably well-acted from everyone that's in there. I have no real issues with anything in there. There's a tremendous soundtrack and some great uses for like some little audio cues, like used continually, sort of bludgeoning you over the head with them kind of thing, which ends up working very well. It's got lots of nunchuck action in it, and you can't get enough of that.
Yay!
There's some really good moments in it, and there's nothing highbrow about the film in the slightest, but I mean, it's certainly of the kind of, you know, have a couple of beers and watch it. I've not seen anything so good in the last year or so that in that kind of genre of slightly beard up movie to watch with your mates kind of thing. It's recommended. I've no issues with it at all. It's not high art or anything like that, but it's certainly bloody funny. And again, what more can you ask for in a comedy?
Very little, I'd wager. Drew, have you had time to check it out?
Yes.
And are you as against the man?
Well,
or are you working for the man?
Basically what he said. I found it at least mildly enjoyable. There are some very funny bits in it. I was watching it thinking that I'm pretty convinced I've never actually ever seen a blaxploitation film. I seem to have seen at least three or four spoofs. I'm going to get you suck an Undercover Brother in this, but I'm not convinced I've ever actually seen a blaxploitation film. So it's just,
no, I don't think I have either.
So
come to
think of it. Because I've never even seen Shaft, I'm pretty sure. Not that I can recall, anyway. Mm. So imagine that if I knew the genre better, I'd get more out of it. But even knowing nothing about the original genre in terms of how they look in the scripting and stuff, I found it well enjoyable. It's funny, they've done a good job with the music, particularly as they've got the sort of soul and funk ballads that are replied to the plots and the character going on through it, and some sort of musical stings that will stick in your head for at least the next couple of days. You'll find yourself just walking up to the fridge and just going, Dynamite! So it's, it's recommended. It's kind of fun, and especially if you're familiar with the genre, then I think you'll get quite a bit out of it.
So, yeah, if you're familiar with the exploitation genre, or you're simply in the market for a fridge opening sting.
And I'm out in the fridge.
I don't want to open my fridge and find dynamite in it. That's a suboptimal situation at best. Probably better to find it in the fridge than in the microwave, I suppose.
You need to keep it in the fridge, Craig, because otherwise the nitroglycerin sweats out of it.
That's
that
it, exactly.
That course teaches you nothing.
I need to keep it in the fridge. I need to keep it in the fridge or else it might be found by the man.
Go, I hate the man so much.
The man. If I see the man, I'm going to stick it to him. Whoever he is, that nebulous man. Thanks for paying attention, if you have until this point. We'll be back at some juncture in the future with more inane banter about more probably inane films. Hopefully you get a chance to check out some of our recommendations this time around, and keep it real. I've been Craig, Scott was Scott.
San Dimas High School football rules.
And I suspect Drew was the man.
I was, but I bid you adieu nonetheless.
He's so powerful. Keep it real, guys. We'll speak to you again soon. Bye.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I see. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
never loses its fun.